Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
We're looking forward to sharing with you in the Extra Hour today about more about Islam. We're hoping to get off of it, but we got so many things we want you to know because it looks like our government leaders are partnering with this religion called Islam, and their plans for the church and for the Jews is not good. We must wake up. Good morning, good morning, good morning, Nate Gina. That's a wonderful, wonderful picture of your boys. Tell them we said hello. Morning, morning, morning. You are listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Man, we just talked about in the first hour, you know, what had happened in Aurora, Colorado. And just want to tell everybody, you know, there was a shooting that took place there in the theaters this morning around 12 midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. And you can find out more about it on the VFN TV blog. At VFNTV.com, there are some videos there. Our president's going to be speaking, I believe today around 10 o'clock, 10:30 in Fort Myers, Florida about it. This is a tragedy. We got to, you know, really pray for them and pray for the families. And you can find out more about that on the VFNTV blog at VFNTV.com. Our hearts go out. They do have a prayer vigil scheduled tonight. Our pastor there, Sharon Holderbaum, is VFN Colorado, and she's letting us know that they're going to be there tonight, and it is at the Municipal Building. It's 7 p.m. Mountain Time, 7 p.m. Mountain Time, and our hearts do go out for the family. Well, in this extra hour, we are going to be talking about more on understanding, a conversation to begin to understand, as we did understanding the Mormon faith. If you haven't heard about that, you got to go to the VFN TV blog and find out about it, because we have two particular men. They're wanting to run America. They want to lead America. They have a vision for America, and they will be the leaders. I mean, you know, if whichever one gets elected, they have a personal vision for America. We talked about, you know, President Barack Obama's vision for America. I believe it was this week. You can see it on the VFN app highlights, and you can see it on VFN TV blog at VFNTV.com. But it appears that his inner heart is anti-colonial. He's an anti-colonialist, which means that prior to Great Britain and America's rule, where we spread freedom and spread our way of economy and all that, and it was wrong, and we need to go back to the 1500s where, you know, everybody was kind of autonomous, and nobody had that kind of influence over the world. And you would think about it right up front, that kind of sounds kind of humbling and good or whatever, mm-hmm. unless the fact it's a lie and somebody just wants to weaken you so that they can take you over. And all of a sudden now you have a caliphate and you have Islamic rule, and you're just trying to hold your head on, you know, trying to lose your head over the whole thing. And so, And deception is deception. You know, deception is when you think what you're doing is right, but you're wrong. And so, you know, you got to hear that. It's called, you know, President Obama's Vision for America. It's an interview with the president of King's College in New York, and he thoroughly has researched this. And he's from India, and his parents were anti-colonialists, so he knows exactly how they would think, and it all makes sense. It all fits together. As a matter, there's a movie coming out, I think. The movie is something that he produced, and I forget who produced it with him, but it's called, I think, 2016 Obama, I think. And it's about you know, if in fact America chooses for this next 4 years to have President Obama as a president, his vision for America will be an anti-colonials type vision. And so in this movie, they just start saying, you know, what is America going to look like with the fulfillment of his vision?
Mm-hmm.
Not good.
Uh-uh.
You know, for the church, you have to understand that they hated Jesus. People who did not accept Jesus as the Messiah, as the Lord, as the only way to God, they hated him. They nailed him to a cross. They called him Satan. They did everything they could do to get him out of the city and get him out. And they hated his followers. He said, they hated me and they'll hate you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said. And you will not be treated any more than the teacher. You have to understand, if we partner with those who we know, you know, hates God, hates Jesus,
mm-hmm.
you know, and says he's a prophet and not the son of God. And we do that, you know, it's not going to be good for the church and it's not going to be good for Israel, you know, and we have to wake up about it and not, we don't want to sell out our freedoms,
mm-hmm.
you know, but freedom, people, you know, freedom's not to do a freedom to do whatever you want to do. People gave their lives for this freedom. Every day people are defending this freedom, and we defend it by saying, you know what? I'm standing up for what is right. You know, I'm not going to stop your right to be free. But when your freedom overrides my freedom, when your perception of God starts stomping out our ability to worship God and what we're doing, and it wants to eliminate us from the earth, hey, there's something wrong with that. And it's just not the same thing, because the caliphate, before we go into this, you have to understand that when you become a citizen of America, you actually swear, you have to swear that you will, you take an oath, and in the oath of office, you swear that you will break all allegiance to every potentate, all foreign governments, and as a matter, I think I have the oath right here. Let me read, this is the oath. The president has this oath, but citizenship, as a citizen of America, there is an oath, and you can see it on the VFN TV blog right here. I'm gonna read it right to you, and you have some guys there, and this is great. I think immigration is wonderful that mm-hmm. we're able to come in, but to do that, we actually have them swear an oath. They raise their right hand. They swear. They say, "I hereby declare on oath that I absolutely and entirely." They're swearing. The right hand's up, and they say, "I absolutely and entirely."
Mm.
You have to understand this now. This is important to understand what we're going to be hearing today. That I hereby declare on oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty of whom or which I have heretofore been a subject or a citizen. I will support and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and I'll even take up arms to defend, it goes on to say,
mm-hmm.
the Constitution. So help me God. That's what we have in common in America. We have in common is the Constitution of the United States. And the Islamic, a loyal Muslim to the Quran,
mm-hmm.
believes that the caliphate, the Muslim Brotherhood, for example, they believe that the caliphate, which means that the Quran is the law of the land, not the Constitution of the United States. So they're in conflict with each other. They call it the nation. When you hear something done wrong by somebody who's in a Muslim on the media, for example, say it's in Afghanistan, they will say this Afghani did such and such or so and so. When something good said about the Afghan people and they're a Muslim, they say he's a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wait a minute, he's of the nation of Islam when something done well, but right. You actually then categorize him by his geographical region when he does something bad.
Right.
And the thing about it, the nation of Islam means this, that they see themselves as earthly nation, in that it's a caliphate. It's a, the ruling of the Quran is the new constitution. It goes by that. And so, which is not good for Christians and all. And we're going to talk about that. But understanding that, then we have to realize that that if their goal, because, you know, for example, Christians, our goal are not is not to take over the White House. It's not to replace the United States Constitution with the Ten Commandments. You know, it's not for us to, we actually believe in the First Amendment rights that says that we can worship God freely. We, you know, to make no laws concerning that and how we practice our faith with God. And we stand up for that. But that's standing up for the Constitution when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
But the goal of Islam, and especially the radical, not radical, the Muslim Brotherhood, is to have a caliphate, which means the Quran is the law of the land.
Mm-hmm.
Is the law. You got to go back and listen to Muslim Brotherhood 101 on the VFN TV blog. You will see it. And they have an objective. Their objective is very, very specific. And it is to, you know, have the caliphate as the main law of the land. And it's just amazing how we're just sitting back and letting that thing take place. You know, it's like,
wow.
If it's competing against our Constitution, and it seems like, oh my, everybody's coming in against our Constitution right now. And what's happening is the church is not realizing that God's allowing this to happen. If we repent now, he may let us keep it. He may let us keep it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we come back in a moment, we're going to be talking about, we have an interview with Michelle Bachmann, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. She's talking about how the Muslim Brotherhood has infiltrated the White House. You know, and we talked about, we had a dream in January. God showed us that was taking place. But we'll be right back in just one moment.
You know, Greg, you ever had a conversation with a believer and you ask them, you know, hey, what is God saying today? What's the Lord saying to you today? And oftentimes you'll sometimes hear back, well, you know, my pastor preached last Sunday on X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you know, that's cool. I mean, I appreciate that. That's awesome. But what did God say to you today?
Right.
And you get this puzzled look back.
It can be really frustrating as a minister, can't it?
Is God supposed to speak to me?
Have you ever heard this Jesus you profess, you know?
Well, let me tell you, abiding is about what God is saying to you individually, that God desires to speak to you, and he's going to speak to you through his word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love John 10, says, my sheep know my voice.
Yes.
And I remember when I began to start to abide, and it was just the most beautiful thing to hear that God wanted to speak to me through his word. You know, if you're out there and you want to hear God's voice and you want to know God in an intimate way and hear what he's saying to you specifically about your situation, because God cares about you.
Yes, he cares
about everything that's happening in your life, what you're going through. And the Bible is not a history book, but it's a living book because it comes from the author. And God wants to speak to you directly about your situation and your life and how much he loves you. You know, if you go to iabide.org, you can request a simple plan just to learn how to abide, how to spend time with him and hear his voice. I encourage you to do that. iabide.org.
You know, Ben, I was just talking to my father,
mm-hmm.
and he was, my sisters and I, we got them an iPad,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, move them into the next level of technology.
Right.
And my mother was Skyping now.
Oh,
my
wow.
mother, yeah, she can Skype. She can Skype. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping to have mom on, have to do a conference call or something and bring her on live. You would just, you know, everybody, you in the audience, you would just love to hear my mother. We just laugh and talk, and we've always had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they're listening to VFN TV
mm-hmm.
and the VFN radio program, watching VFN TV and listening to the VFN radio program
mm-hmm.
with their iPad.
Oh, wow.
They have an iPad.
Uh-huh.
And, they're able to do it because they went to the iTunes store
mm-hmm.
and downloaded the application, because we have an application. We have an app for that.
Right.
We have an app for your iPad. We have an app for your iPhone, and we have an app for your Android.
Mm-hmm.
You just go to your app store and type in your search area of your app store, V as in Victor, VFN TV. There you go is the app. Download it, and for free, you begin to listen not only to the live program, and it happens all day long on the loop as well, but all the archives and highlights. You think about it. If you miss a segment or somebody's talking to you about something, oh, man, I missed that. You can go that with the app. You could go back and look to the highlights of that day and possibly the app, that particular highlights right there. In addition, you can get right to our VFN TV and Daily VFN Radio program, Facebook. You can get to our the VFN TV blog right off your application. It has everything that you need available for you. As a matter of fact, those that are you know, sowing into this ministry and giving, that you can even give right there on your application.
Oh.
It is so, so cool. I just want to say hey to Ma and hey, Dad. And all the moms and dads out there, listen, you can get VFN TV, the Daily Radio program, right there on your phone or your iPad or your Android or Apple. Just go to your app store and download it today. Pat.
Yes.
I am looking right now at the blog, the VFN TV and Daily Radio Program blog,
right,
which you can get to at VFNTV.com,
mm-hmm.
and there's so many things on here, so many wonderful things. I mean, think about it.
Right.
I mean, think about the role of the Holy Spirit, this humorous thing. It's so funny, this dad is screaming right, this roller coaster ride. You know, one of the things, this is called Silver-Coated Lips and Deadly Motives. What is that?
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness. You know, it was raining sideways. You remember that?
Oh, my goodness.
All this is available right here. A story about Peter Wagner and Steve Hill, about what's taking place and how, you know, that VFN family, the VFN Fellowship Network, is a significant part of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how honoring our soldiers, the strategy of walking with God. You know, healthcare. What's God's perspective on healthcare? You know, R.A. Dickey of the New York Mets, his testimonies in there. And he's sitting there holding up a baseball with iabide.org. America is a republic. It's not a democracy. I'm learning these things right now because I'm actually looking at the VFN TV blog.
Right.
You know, it's time to be shrewd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus said that he commended the manager because the owner commended the manager because he was a shrewd manager. It's time to be shrewd. I think I'm going to read this right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
America is a byproduct of the kingdom of God. I thought that it was the other way around.
Right.
There's so many wonderful things that you can find out and look, reading over the Book of Mormon about Mormonism. I want to find out what's up with that.
Mm-hmm.
I need to find out what that is. Is that you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And my goodness, we're looking at you know Rosenberg's book and the America's economic crisis. What's taking place right there? Oh, there's even something here about. Did you know that? At one time in America, that if a man saw a woman's ankles, he'd have to marry her.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, it was in Charleston. Anyway, you can find out. He said, don't let him see your ankles because you'll have to marry him. You can find that on the VFN TV blog. There's just so many things, man.
Right.
How to make a hamburger. Instead of using hamburger buns, you can use Krispy Kreme donuts. Just so many things.
And there's something about heaven, too.
Oh, man, yeah. It's like 90 minutes in heaven, you know, talking about what's that like with Piper going to heaven. Just you name it, everything about Israel. And if you're not hitting up the blog, if you're not going to the VFN TV blog every day and even subscribing to it, you can go there and you can hover over the right hand corner and subscribe to it. And it comes into your email. You just want to stay in tune. It takes the VFN radio program to the next level. Don't miss it. Just go to VFNTV.com and click on the blog. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. With me in the studios is Pat Hamilton. Well, you know, we're going to get right into it because our time is going to be limited. We're going to cover every single thing. We're going to be talking about more about our journey of learning more about Islam. What we're finding out now, and in this, we're going to talk about how Congressman Michelle Bachmann, we got an interview with her in just a moment. It's going to come up in a few moments. She's talking about how when people stand up for what is right in the country, they get targeted. They get targeted by CARE. CARE stands for this. It's very important. We need to spell it out. It stands for Council of American Islamic Relations. It's not C-A-R-E. It's C-A-I-R. And they come and they target our congressman or a congresswoman who stands up and says, listen, we've got, and they stand up for the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to go into right after that. We're going to compare the Quran to the Bible. And we have it available for you right now on the VFN TV blog. But, you know, we want to compare it. We want to compare it where you're able to look side by side. This is the Bible. This is the Quran. And they're the antithesis of each other. You're going to be totally surprised and understand why the oil and water, the Christianity and Islam do not mix.
Mm-hmm.
And Islam and the Constitution do not mix. You know what I'm saying? You have to renounce all allegiances to anything that trumps the Constitution. Well, you know, as Christians, we can do that because God tells us to submit to the government that's at hand,
mm-hmm.
as unto the Lord.
Right.
So we're not trying to
strong hand the government. You know, we express ourselves. It's the battlefield of ideas, like George Washington said. But we're not trying to, you know, blow buildings up and do these different things that, we're seeing take place when they call radical Islam. But you look at the Bible, the Quran says very specifically that if you die in the name of their God, then you get rewards in heaven for doing that. Mm-hmm. It says they get rewards in heaven for doing that. For here's an interview right now, just yesterday on GBTV, where Congressman Michelle Bachmann is speaking about what's taking place and asking for our help. Listen up.
The program.
Glenn, thank you so much. What an important topic. And I have to say that you and the people at the Blaze have been leading the pack on this. And thank you for the wonderful documentary that you've done, because the influence today at the Muslim Brotherhood at the highest levels, from the White House to the Pentagon to the FBI, even to our United States military, truly is breathless, and people have to know about it.
Okay. So tell me what happened. You and who else wrote a letter to the Inspector General's office and said, there are some questions here that need to be addressed.
That's right. It was three members of the Intelligence Committee, myself, Lynn Westmoreland from Georgia, Tom Roney from Florida, and two members of the Judiciary Committee, Trent Franks of Arizona and Louis Gohmert of Texas, all signed on to a letter. We asked numerous questions of the federal government, because a letter was sent. Let me just back up. After the Fort Hood tragedy, a report was issued that said the real problem in our government is that we are not teaching FBI agents or our military to recognize radical Islam. So that's what we need to do. We need to teach about it. Well, in response to that, over 50 Muslim organizations wrote a letter requesting that the White House start a task force to stop that from happening. 5 days after the White House got this letter, this October 19th letter, and people can see it on my website, or maybe you have it on the Blaze, 5 days after the White House got this letter from the 50 Muslim groups, they started the purge of the federal government. Let me tell you, the federal government doesn't do anything.
You got to understand what she's saying here. This is Congressman Michelle Bachmann. She's talking about that when they saw the shooting at Fort Hood, where somebody was in our military's uniform, sitting amongst our troops and started firing shots off and killed our officers. And they said that this is just a non-terrorist attack, when his loyalty was to Muhammad, his loyalty was to Islam. And he was specifically in the name of Muhammad killing our troops. And so what they did was they said, you know, we're going to need to do an investigation here. We got to understand this radical Islam. Mm-hmm. And Islam jumped on their computers and started writing letters. And in their letters, they're saying, no, don't do this, don't do this. And now she's talking about, listen to what she's talking about. And so the FBI gets a directive, because they work under the president, uh-huh, you know, to immediately start removing, not only don't investigate it, but anything that refers to Islam in your libraries, remove it. Listen up.
5 days. But they started the purge of the FBI. So now the FBI, who are supposed to be trained in radical Islam, elements have been purged out of their training materials, so they are no longer being taught about what radical Islam is in order to be able to truly identify it.
Church, let me tell you something. You know, it's more of Michelle Bachmann coming in a moment, but understand this. When this kind of thing happens, understand this is God saying, listen up, that I'm about to turn this nation over. Because, that is so blatantly not right, and it is the end of a nation if, in fact, we do that, you know, that you never purge a library. I mean, they have, FBI doesn't, you know, the only person that ever got rid of files probably was J. Edgar Hoover, you
yeah,
know?
Right.
And now that under this president, who we saw, you know, in January, one of our leaders had a dream in January, as we were in a time of prayer and fasting, and the Lord showed this person, our president, in the basement of the White House, signing a contract or a covenant, signing paperwork with Islam. Mm-hmm. You know, and look, this is, we're seeing it take place right now. This is what they're saying.
Right.
And now, not only and it's a representative government, so we send our congressman there to tell what we feel and say, this is how it should go. And so what the Congress said to the FBI and the agencies was, you need to investigate this. We need to know more about radical Islam. And so that's what our representative said. That's what's supposed to happen in representative government. Mm-hmm. Instead, the president, you know, tells them to go ahead and start getting rid of anything to do. It's the total opposite. It's like saying, hey, somebody's outside your house with a gun. What do you think we should do about it? And somebody says, we need to investigate that. And somebody says, well, let's just act like it's not even there.
Right.
Isn't that crazy?
That's insane.
Listen to Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann continue this interview on GBTV.
Out of time. Now, this is serious. This is also happening throughout our United States military, Department of Justice, and Homeland Security. And the word purge isn't my word. That's the word used by the 50 Muslim organizations. They demanded that the president purge the training materials and the trainers. And so already people have been fired who formerly were teaching what radical Islam is. They've been fired or they've been reassigned. And they asked that the libraries be purged. Americans don't purge libraries. But
think about this, that this is what radical Islam says. Radical Islam says that the Jews need to be killed and pushed into the sea, and they need to give the land back. That Christians need to convert to Islam or come in servitude or die. You know, it says that, you know, if you die, you know, if they die in the name of their God, doing, you know, killing somebody, you know, doing a terrorist or suicide bombing, that they immediately go to heaven, which they don't. But they immediately go to heaven and even promise them, you know, umpteen virgins, you know, when they get to heaven. It's just like, come on. You know, but it's happening every single day. And now our government is just bowing the knee down. If you study the history of America, our very first, from the shores of Tripoli, when you hear about the Marines and their song, that comes when they were battling Islam back in the beginning, in the first days of our country, when they were making threats to our country. You know, America didn't want to get involved in all that kind of stuff. They just wanted to be Americans and that type of thing. But they realized that they were trying to infiltrate. They're trying to do what they're doing today. And so our very first war, I believe it was, where we sent our troops out was to be able to deal with this radical element of the Islamic faith. And here we are today. And that's how our president at the time said, you know, we need to get a copy of the Quran. We need to print it and we need to read it. Today it's being used as saying, hey, you know, one of our presidents had a Quran and, you know, well, you need to know what's going on, you know, and we're going to show you today right now on the VFN TV blog. You're going to be able to go there and compare the two. And we're going to show you after this interview with Congressman Michelle Bachmann, where you're going to see firsthand the huge difference. And it's just going to blow you away. Here's Michelle.
They demanded that the FBI's library be purged. All of this is happening, and so we wrote a letter to the inspectors general asking the questions, don't you think you should look into the influence of the Muslim Brotherhood and what it is they're seeking to do?
Okay, so you write this, which is your job.
That's
and
our duty.
Your duty to protect and defend the United States from all enemies, foreign and domestic.
There is
no question in any sane person's mind that the Muslim Brotherhood, I mean, look at this guy who ran and won the presidency in Egypt. He says, oh, I'm a moderate. Soon as he wins, it's Sharia law. We're going down, you know, death for Allah is our highest goal. It's all the same crap. So
they call for Jerusalem to become Egypt's capital, not Israel's capital. They call for the demise of Israel and the demise of the United States.
Do you hear that? The demise of the United States. Really? Really, church? Are we going to just sit back and keep playing church and keep going to it instead of being it? Are we going to sit silent while those who gave their lives to give us the First Amendment, to give us the authority in the Constitution of the United States, to be able to send representative government to say, what are you thinking? We begin to impeach leaders who do not defend or do not hold up to their oath of office to be able to defend the Constitution from enemies, foreign and domestic. And first of all, we need to know the Constitution. You know, go to the VFN TV blog at VFNTV.com and find out what the Constitution is before you start telling your, you know, congressperson to be able to stand up or your senator to stand up or your president to stand up for it. And we need to understand that this is a strategy. It's a strategy that's been in play for quite some time. And you're going to find out even our Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, that her assistant, the wife of Congressman Wiener, who was removed from office, you know, is involved in this whole thing. Listen up, listen up.
They believe in civilization jihad, which is to come into the United States and subvert the United States from within. I know this sounds like radical stuff, but all you have to do is look at, right, just look at the Muslim Brotherhood and who they say they are.
Yeah. Okay. So when you wrote this letter, then Keith Ellison comes out. And Keith Ellison is, he has a record of being the mafia hitman.
Well, he has a long record of being associated with CARE and with the Muslim Brotherhood. CARE is an unindicted co-conspirator, as stated in...
And just so you know, CARE is the Council of American Islamic Relations. It's the Council of America Islamic Relations. It's not C-A-R-E. It's C-A-I-R.
The largest terrorist financing case that we've had in the United States of America. And so he came out and essentially wanted to shut down the inspectors general from even looking into any of the questions that we were asking. So he wanted to shut it down. In response, I wrote another letter back to Keith Ellison, a 16-page letter, which I would encourage all of your listeners to go and read this letter. It's a what I call a bulletproof letter. I have 59 footnotes with one example after another of the penetration of the Muslim Brotherhood into the federal government.
She is representing us well. She did her research. She said a bulletproof letter. She's talking about everything she's saying has been verified. The evidence is being presented. Mm-hmm. And our president right now, who's supposed to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States with his right arm attorney general, they're just sitting back and just letting this happen. You know why? Because that's their strategy. Their vision for America is different than our founding fathers' vision. Mm-hmm. The question is, we got to find out as the church and as Americans, what are we going to do? Are we going to just sit back and surrender this freedom? Are we going to fall to our knees and say, God, we see what's happening. We see what's happening. We ran after other gods. We thought it was optional to follow your ways. We replaced your commands with our traditions and our philosophies, but we're back. Forgive us. Lord, we don't want this disaster to come upon us. Mm. Continue to listen up to Michelle Bachmann, Congressman Michelle Bachmann.
One of the most recent is so outrageous, it's hard to believe. 2 weeks ago, the State Department broke its own law, like I said, and let a foreign terrorist come into the United States, into the White House, meet with the National Security Council, and demand the release of the blind sheikh.
You have to understand this. Our president is inviting a terrorist into the White House, which is your house. That's the house of Americans. That's Americans' place of leadership that we allow people to be in for 4 or 8 years, that we elect to be able to represent us and defend our Constitution. He's bringing people in and sitting down with them. What is that? That's just like the dream that we had in January during our time of fasting and prayer, that he's made a covenant. And then let me tell you something. You know, it's not just radical Islam he's made a covenant with. And think of this, that every covenant that he makes is another hole in the ship of America. Mm-hmm. So that's just one hole. It's a big hole.
Right.
That he's making covenant after covenant with things that are going to take this nation down. It's almost like he's been set up. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like he's been set up for this very reason. Like, this is his job description.
Right.
You know, humble America, take it down, dismantle it, break it to pieces, take it back to the 1500s, you know, and take it back to its particular place.
Right.
You know, and realize this, that God is totally in control.
Right.
You know, God holds the heart of the kings in his hands. He directs them like a river course. Understand that God could change this and turn this on a moment's notice if we will turn to God and not to politics. If we will humble ourselves, you know, Michelle Bachmann, she's a believer. She's a Christian. She's crying out for what is right for this country, you know, what is right before God, you know, what is right constitutionally. And what are we doing as the church? Are we running to the political response? Are we saying, you know what, God, it's us. I looked in the mirror to see what my issue would be. And when I looked in the mirror, I saw that my issue was me. Continue to listen to Michelle Bachmann. She's talking about that right now, the president is bringing in terrorists in the White House, and he's having meetings with them that are against our nation, against our country. Listen up.
This is absolutely outrageous.
No, wait. There's more to this story that I think is even more outrageous. Not only did they break their own laws, give this guy a special waiver, bring him into the White House. This is a guy who is a known part of a known terrorist organization. He then campaigns to have the blind sheik release. But who pays for his airline ticket?
We do. The taxpayers. What I want to know is, did we upgrade him to first class? I mean, this is outrageous.
We paid for
what
his
has
ticket.
Happened. And so then now what's happened is the attack machine has been turned on myself and the other members of Congress who have been asking the questions that somehow we're the Muslim haters, we're the witch hunters, we're the new Joe McCarthyites, because we're asking these questions.
You have to understand, it's very important. Your representative, the people that represent you, they're asking the right questions, expecting the right behaviors. Who is asking the FBI and the CIA to do this or to do that on behalf of our soldiers who just died in Fort Hood? And when they stand up for what's right, CAIR, C-A-I-R, you know, the Council of American Islamic Relations is coming in and they're just attacking them, and they're calling them, you know, that you're against Muslims, you're against, you know, and they're just saying you're anti Muslims and all this different. It's like, no, I'm just for the country. If being for the country makes me anti-Islamic, so be it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If I stand up for the Constitution and that says I'm not standing up for you, that means you don't belong here then.
Right.
Because when you came here, you swore to an allegiance to the Constitution like everybody else did.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? From the president on down to the soldiers, to the citizens, to all of us. That's when we hold our hands over our heart and says, I pledge allegiance. It's not to the flag. It's what the flag stands for. The flag stands for what? The United States Constitution. And so if you're standing up for the Constitution, constitutional rights, makes you somebody's enemy, then they don't belong in America then.
Right.
They're saying they don't like the way the Constitution is. And it's like, okay, well, fine, cool. You know, that's your right as a person who has the right to do whatever. But in America, you know, this is how it is. And so you need to find your different country.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because this country right now, if God lets us keep it, you know, and he keeps his hand on it, its constitution is written already for how it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we swear allegiance, pledge allegiance to the flag for which it stands. And it stands for the United States Constitution. Listen up.
All the while, 2 weeks ago, the Obama administration breaks federal law to bring someone that we list on the State Department as a terrorist organization, a member of that terrorist organization, we bring him in to the White House. You don't get any higher when it comes to intelligence secrets. You don't get any higher than the National Security Council. He sits down with the National Security Council in our White House and has the guts to demand that we released one of the worst, most violent terrorists that we have behind bars. He wants us to let him out of prison. To let him go free, the guy who is the mastermind of the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, the blind sheik.
Okay, so let's.
And you don't hear a peep about this.
No, of course not. Let me take you here, because one of the more controversial things is you say Anthony Weiner's wife has connections to the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, this is important because she works for Hillary Clinton.
Well, she is the chief aide to the Secretary of State. And we quoted from a document, and this has been well reported all across Arab media, that her late father, who's now deceased, was a part of the Muslim Brotherhood. Her brother was a part of the Muslim Brotherhood, and her mother was a part of what's called the Muslim Sisterhood.
Are you understanding that? That our Secretary of State, who's traveling to represent us in the world, her assistant, former Congressman Weiner's wife,
mm-hmm.
her father was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, and her mother was part of the Muslim Brotherhood Women's Gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in their head offices.
Oh my goodness.
And the Lord's word of that on my heart, you know, it's been in my office for quite some time. We haven't got a chance to be able to release it yet. But Bill and Hillary Clinton have a significant part, because it's really started where we are today, started under their administration today.
Mm-hmm.
And the one who was over the Secretary of Defense, who was over the CIA, was their chief of staff, Panetta.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's been some things going on in all this. And behind the scenes, as when Hillary Clinton's daughter is getting married, they stayed in George Soros's house. during that time. And George Soros is really into flipping countries and, mm-hmm. And driving currencies in the ground. It's like they have a world plan. They have a world plan. But listen up. This is Congressman Bottman sharing about what's taking place with our Secretary of State's assistant, whose father was in the Muslim Brotherhood.
It would be, we have requirements to get a high-level security clearance. One thing that the government looks at are your associations, and in particular your family associations. And this applies to everyone. It would be the same that is true with me. If my family members were associated with Hamas, a terrorist organization, that alone could be sufficient to disqualify me from getting a security clearance. So we did is ask, did the federal government look into her family associations before she got a high-level security?
And it's not an unreasonable thing to ask, seeing that this president and this administration didn't know that Van Jones was one of the founding members of a radical, revolutionary, anti-American communist organization. And he's in the White House.
That's right. That's
so
right.
So something is, somebody's dropping the ball someplace, or somebody knows.
That's right. And somebody has been dropping the ball since the beginning of the Obama administration. Mm-hmm. And this isn't intent to be partisan or out to get the president. I mean, quite honestly, on the Intelligence Committee, I'm happy to report we are the most bipartisan committee I've ever been a part of. And with all of these unprecedented leaks that have been coming out from our federal government, all of which, by the way, undermine Israel and Israel's ability to defend herself against a nuclear Iran, we are, with one voice, Democrat and Republican, outraged by these leaks that are coming out of the administration. Never before in the history of the country have we seen this level of leaks coming out. But at the same time, there's also a parallel track of influence from the Muslim Brotherhood and the highest levels of the federal government, and we think that we need to get answers to these questions, and that's the purpose of our letters. We're asking that the inspectors general answer these questions, and Keith Ellison is trying to shut these questions down from getting addressed.
I'm really tight on time, and I want to hit a couple of other things. Stu's been going over all of this information, and he's got one question for you.
Well, I see here that you did link to the actual military document that talks about what is a potentially disqualifying condition for a security clearance. It says, quote, "At contact with a foreign family member, if that contact creates a heightened risk of foreign exploitation, inducement, manipulation, pressure, or coercion," then goes on to say the subject's closest and most frequent contacts are the ones most likely to present a security risk. And you're talking about both her father, who's now deceased, her mother, and her brother. So I think the media seems to be holding you to the standard that you have to have this case completely proven, when it seems like what you're saying is there a legitimate process question? Are they actually asking these questions before handing out these clearances?
Right. This has been, I mean, your links and your footnotes, and they're down, by the way. I don't know if you know that, Michelle, but the Al Jazeera links that you put in and you said, here, go find the story on Al Jazeera. They're broken links now. We can't get to them.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. So
we can go in the past and dig them up so we can resurrect them.
We're going to have to get them because they've either been scrubbed or they're being hammered, you know, by so much traffic, which I highly doubt. But so that's you. I mean, you have links showing that in Al Jazeera's own coverage.
These links were up as of last Friday.
Yeah. We're going to have to get them because they've either been scrubbed or they're being hammered, you know, by so much traffic, which I highly doubt. But so that's you. I mean, you have links showing that in Al Jazeera's own coverage.
These links were up as of last Friday.
Yeah, well, they're not.
I wrote the letter and we got it out by midnight last Friday night, and the links were up last Friday.
Yeah, well,
so they've taken them down.
I will tell you that's not unusual. As we followed these stories like this, that's really not unusual anymore.
Well, that's even more reason why we should be looking into this.
Yeah. Let me just say this to you, and then one more quick question. I just wrote a letter to the president of my company for The Blaze, and he's in charge of all content. He's kind of our news, you know, our Uber news director, if you will. He's the president of content. And I just said, we know the truth on this story. We've had this for a while. I do not want this company to sit down on this. So we are going to cover this and continue to cover this to make sure that people hear this story. Because, Michelle, you guys are absolutely right, and it is a matter of national survival. Let me ask you one quick question. John McCain and all of the elephant media are falling right in line with the Muslim Brotherhood bullcrap. What did John McCain do yesterday?
Well, he went on the Senate floor and he gave a spirited defense of Huma Abedin, who is a friend of his, and so that's what he did.
But you're not saying that she is compromised. You're saying, have we looked into this? Right.
That's right. That's all we're saying, because we did not aver that she is a member of the Muslim Brotherhood or that she's working on behalf of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Right.
Our point was regarding the security clearance.
Right.
And did she have to go through the same sort of process that anyone else has to go to? Did they check the boxes?
Because what we're talking about here is the assistant to the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. This is the system. They did not even do the back. And the thing about it is, obviously, they did do the background. This is strategy right here. This is where we are. This is what's going on. Next, we're going to be talking about a comparison. Okay, let's look at the Quran. Let's look at the Bible, and you're going to be so surprised. We got to hurry up and quickly move because it's going to take a little time. We'll be right back after these messages.
You know, Greg, you ever had a conversation with a believer, and you ask them, you know, hey, what's God saying today? What's the Lord saying to you today? And oftentimes, sometimes hear back, well, you know, my pastor preached last Sunday on XYZ. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you know, that's cool. I mean, I appreciate that. That's awesome. But what did God say to you today?
Right.
And you get this puzzled look back.
It can be really frustrating as a minister, can't it? Have you ever heard this Jesus you profess, you know?
Well, let me tell you, abiding is about what God is saying to you individually. That God desires to speak to you, and he's going to speak to you through his word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love John 10. It says, my sheep know my voice.
Yes.
And I remember when I began to start to buy it, mm-hmm. and it was just the most beautiful thing to hear that God wanted to speak to me through his word. You know, if you're out there and you want to hear God's voice and you want to know God in an intimate way and hear what he's saying to you specifically about your situation, because God cares about you.
Yes, he
cares about everything that's happening in your life, what you're going through. And the Bible is not a history book, but it's a living book because it comes from the author. And God wants to speak to you directly about your situation and your life and how much he loves you. You know, if you go to iabide.org, you can request a simple plan just to learn how to abide, how to spend time with him and hear his voice. I encourage you to do that. iabide.org.
Radical? Was Jesus a radical? Wasn't he a radical?
Yeah, pretty radical. Yeah.
He was rocking every place he went. I mean, place was just getting turned upside down, including when he went into the temple. He started saying, that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
Kick over. That's not right. Hit with a whip. I mean, you know?
Yeah.
We got to read the red letters again.
Yeah.
We got to get in touch with the red blood of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That cleanses sin and the red letters in the Word of God. Listen, I don't want you, you know, to be offended. Understand, and the truth offends only those who don't want to follow it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all we got to do if we weren't following it is just go, that's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want. Forgive me. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Yeah, that's what I want. I want God. Mm-hmm. I want God. And so you don't want to be offended by it. You want to be, think about it. You know, we're not making progress. We're actually declining. Everything's declining in the American church, and things are shifting to other nations. As a matter of fact, listen to Steve Hill right now. Steve Hill and Peter Wagner discuss the very same thing, and I'll be right back.
And I want to say to those pastors that are watching, if you're don't be offended by anything, okay? Because I'm an evangelist and a pastor, and I've traveled all over the world, okay? And I'll stand in front of a group of people and don't worry about offending somebody and standing up and saying that they need to be a little bit stronger with their message. They need to be a little bit more forceful when they communicate with other people about the gospel, because we're not making progress.
Think about it. We're not making progress in America. Is that not enough? I mean, if you're on a football team, and the point of the being on the football team is to score points, and we're not scoring points, maybe we need to rethink our playbook. Maybe we need to rethink what we're doing. Let's go back to the original playbook. Let's go back to the original word. Let's just say, you know what, God, you are right. Here I am. Send me. Maybe VFN's for you. Vine Fellowship Network. You can get to it at vinefellowshipnetwork.org or just go to vfnfamily.org. That's vfnfamily.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and with me in the studios is Pat Hamilton. You know, we're just talking about right there, Secretary of State, Congressman Michelle Bachmann is talking about how that we've been infiltrated. Our government's been infiltrated by the Muslim Brotherhood, by Islam. They're purging everything to do through the FBI libraries, anything to do about radical Islam, just removing everything. And our representative government's shouting out there. And the question is, are we going to stand up for them? But we need to, you know, one thing we need to do, we need to find out, you know, what is the comparison? If you put the Quran, which is Muhammad's writings that he says he heard from God, he says Jesus, they do acknowledge Jesus, but they acknowledge him as a prophet, not the son of God, that Jesus has to come back according to the Quran and repent for calling himself the son of God. And then he will be the assistant to their God. You know, it's like, hello, you know, wow. And look at they're just dead set on destroying the Jews and the Christians. And it's like, why is that? It's just amazing what's taking place. So let's compare right now on the VFN TV blog. You can go to the VFN TV blog, and as you're hearing this, you can see it. We have it on a video for you, so you can say, okay, there's the Quran, there's the Bible. Here's the Quran, here's the Bible. You go to VFNTV.com, you click on it, but listen up.
In a plot twist so strange it's hard to believe, Christians, Jews, and Muslims all trace their lineage to the same man, Abraham, and their physical roots to the same place, Jerusalem. The religions believe in many of the same prophets, and even the basic framework of many key prophecies.
Obviously, you had Abraham, who's the father of Isaac and Ishmael. Now, on Isaac's side, he was the father of Jacob, who became Israel, and obviously that's the father of the Jewish faith. And then on the other side, you had Ishmael, and then you also had Edom, or Esau. And it was out of those individuals on that side of the Abrahamic family that many of the Middle Eastern nationalities derive from. Now, Muhammad, the founder of Islam, claims to have been a direct descendant 2,600 years after Ishmael.
It's interesting because we all share that common rootage. As a matter of fact, there is an exhibit at the New York Public Library called The Three Faiths. And three faiths, all beginning with Abraham, so to speak.
Jews, Christians, Muslims all point to Jerusalem as the epicenter of their faith. And they all believe that that is where all history will wind up, in part because Abraham was touched by God there, was spoken to and communicated with God there.
All the three major religions, Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, believe in the return or in the coming of a Messiah that is going to bring peace, where peace is going to reign supreme on earth.
But who the Messiah is and how that peace is achieved is very much in dispute. The Jewish faith believes the Messiah will be human and will oversee a period of great transformation on earth.
There will be a resurrection of the dead. There will be the return of justice. There will be true peace amongst all peoples. The rebuilding of the temple will take place. Now, there are those who take a bit of a different stance and say, well, it's going to happen through human development, not necessarily in the hands of one person, but collectively it will take place.
The messianic beliefs of Christians and Muslims represent a sort of anti-parallel. Similar stories told from very different perspectives with very different outcomes.
I think of it as a photographic negative of each other.
Christians believe the returning Messiah will be Jesus Christ. Islam's savior is the Mahdi, who will emerge as the Pope, President, and General of the world.
According to the Bible, the Antichrist revives an empire. According to Islamic end time view, the Mahdi revives an Islamic empire.
In the Bible, the Old Testament prophet Daniel says the Antichrist will set up his seat of authority on the Temple Mount in Israel and will actively persecute and martyr Jews as his enemies. Islam teaches the Mahdi will operate from the same Temple Mount in Jerusalem and will cause Jews and other non-believers to either convert to Islam or die.
On the biblical side, the Antichrist will specifically use the method of beheading to martyr his enemies, to destroy his enemies. On the Islamic side, it's within the Quran that says, strike the necks of the unbelievers. Some translations actually say, behead the unbelievers.
Revelation 13 says, the Antichrist will have an assistant, a false prophet. It refers to him as a dragon in the clothing of a ram or a lamb.
On the Islamic side, Muslims believe that Jesus returns. Again, they call him Isa al-Masih. He comes back as an assistant to the Mahdi. And he tells all of the Christians of the world, your Bible is corrupt. I never claimed to be the Son of God. I never died on the cross. The Christian religion is false. Islam is the true religion, and you need to follow the Mahdi.
The biblical Antichrist will reign for 7 years. The Mahdi, 7 years. Both religions talk about a mark of the beast. Christians believe it will be put on the forehead, wrist, or forearm of those who follow the Antichrist. Only those with the mark will be allowed to buy or sell goods. The Bible teaches that anyone taking the mark will ultimately be cast into hell.
Muslims have borrowed this concept of the mark of the beast. Muslims actually teach this individual known as the Dabat al-Ard. He is the beast of the earth that comes up out of the earth. They believe he will be a literal beast, and it says that he will mark the foreheads of all true Muslim believers. So on the Islamic side, Muslims are actually hoping to be marked with the mark of the beast.
The Islamic faith also believes in an Antichrist figure called Ad-Dajjal al-Masih. It refers to him as the false Jewish Messiah or Jewish king who returns claiming to be the Son of God, claiming to be Jesus Christ. And the anti-parallel continues.
So when you look at Revelation 19, this is really the quintessential picture of the return of Jesus in the Bible. He burst forth from heaven on a white horse. He's followed by the armies of heaven. And then it says the kings of the earth gather together to make war against him. And you ask yourself, you say, what in the world are they thinking? This supernatural man just burst forth from heaven and they think they can defeat him. Well, when you understand Islamic eschatology, you understand these kings will actually believe that Jesus is the Dajjal, the Antichrist, and they will believe that it is their divine destiny to kill him.
Richardson believes the Muslim people have been set up by their own belief system to fulfill the prophecies of the Bible, believing they are following their Savior, when in fact, they'll be following the biblical Antichrist.
Well, there we go. This is it. We're coming to the end of the extra hour. I got so much more to share with you. You can find out more about that on the VFN TV blog at VFNTV.com. VFNTV.com. We are here to educate, to illuminate, to inspire you, and to activate you. We can do something about this in the name of Jesus. God bless. And find out more on the blog at VFNTV.com or on your application highlights. God bless.